Obama's speech or read about it, a speech that he delivered to the Muslim world this past Wednesday morning. And I think it's important for us to contextualize what he said and for us to understand where is he coming from in relation to the speech that he delivered. One, I think many of us are aware that Obama presidency would not have been possible had the Iraqis, the Palestinians, the Lebanese, the Afghan, and much of the Muslim world, and much of the American public accepted the preemptive war and accepted occupation, domination, torture as the standard policy to be pursued globally. The reason that Obama is speaking to the Muslim world is for the clear indication that U.S. policy has failed. And it's its failure. Obama is seeking a relationship with the Muslim world that will make it possible for the softer domination, corporate greed, access to Middle East and Muslim resources to continue with the consent of the Arab and Muslim world. Meaning there was a shift that we are watching taking place in America as it relates to the foreign policy. This shift have taken out the military option as the determinant factor in beating down much of the Arab and Muslim world into submission and using beat down diplomacy as a way to achieving those desired goals. Therefore, we should not be taken by the eloquence of the speech or the pageantry surrounding the speech or the talking heads talking without much sense in promoting the speech before and thereafter. That there has not been a fundamental shift in the overarching goals and interests of the United States. Access to oil, access to markets, propping up totalitarian regimes, suppressing democratic processes that sees the people controlling their own life, their own destiny, and having a claim to self-determination. Let's be clear about it. Now, I want to also say something. It is interesting that a speech that he delivers in Cairo University, in one of the places where, not to speak about civilization, but one of the spaces in the world that civilization itself claims some of its origin, because if you have not studied Egyptian history, from the time of the pyramids all the way up to the contemporary period, you don't understand the richness of the society that he went to deliver the speech in. But what was missing is no one introduced him to give the speech, which means he acted as a conqueror speaking to his subjects, and not one that is being introduced by an equal saying that we welcome you in our mix. That is very important to understand the difference. And I recall for you when the president of Iran spoke in Colombia, even though there was disagreement, it is still the president of Columbia University that introduced the president of Iran to speak. But in here, it's not even the basic courtesy to recognize that part of respect is to being introduced by the host that is allowing you to give a speech in their midst, and not to act as a conqueror, as an imperial presence, telling the subjects that are gathered from far and close to tell them what you want from them. And this is have to be one of those ironies that we need to understand, and not to think of colonialism of the past, but to think of colonial discourse of the present, because what took place is an ultimate symbolic representation of the colonial present that he represented, even though that he emerged to the presidency on the back of anti-colonial struggles globally as well as in the United States. So we have to be clear and understand these symbolic acts. Another dimension that has to be critiqued. I know that many of you who are observant of the Palestine aspect of the cause, Obama tried to give us a lesson about the utilitarian function of violence. He is instructing us to follow the examples of many liberation movements, South Africa, as well as the America here in the US, telling us that violence is not the way to go. And we could say that nonviolence is definitely a strategic option. But if Obama is giving us a lesson, I say, do as you say in relation to your policy. But if you are experiencing and practicing violence on the world, it is hypocritical to blame those who are oppressed as they choose to mimic their oppressor in challenging the oppressor and tell them that violence does not work while bombing them from abroad by the drones and the planes and the bombs. We do not produce our bombs. We purchase them from the West. We purchase our bombs from the U.S. We purchase our planes from the U.S. We get our ammunition from the U.S. and Europe. And therefore, if nonviolence is the choice, then follow and pursue by example, not by mere speeches to the Arab and Muslim world, since we've been the victims of the violence for at least the past 100 to 200 years uninterrupted.